Chapter 11. 42 Hydra. They came back out into luminous halls that would never seem so bright again. The future came with them, like a shroud. Alpharius and Omegon were silent and expressionless. Ashen, broken, Sonica carried Shear's corpse in his arms. The Astartes were waiting for them, their bolters still covering the furtive, whispering members of the Cabal. "My lord," Pech began. "What did..." Alpharius raised a hand for silence. He looked at his twin, and they stared into each other's eyes for a long time. Sonica set Shear's body down on the deck. Roxana came over to him.
"Peto, your face," she whispered. "What was it? What did you see?"
Sonica shook his head. He couldn't speak. She put her arms around him. "He saw the Acuity." John Grammaticus was standing behind them. "It is a terrible thing, isn't it, Peto? Quite terrible and wonderful, too." "Wonderful," Sonica burst out, pulling away from Roxana. "How can you call it that?"
"Because in all the horror, it offers a chance," said John Grammaticus. "One pure, simple chance to save, to spare, and to protect."
Sonica stared at him.
"I don't think much of the chance, John," he replied.
Slough Dar stepped forward to face Alpharius. The Astartes followed him with their weapons, but he ignored the threat.
"Well," he asked in halting, thickly accented low Gothic, "what is your response, monkey? Do you have the strength to make this choice, or are you just as weak and self-serving as the rest of your vermin speeches?"
Alpharius gazed at the autarch levelly.
"I stand for the Emperor," he replied. "In all things I am loyal to him, and I cannot break that bond. He has many great ambitions and the noblest of intentions, but I know that above all else he is determined to stand firm against the rise of chaos. He has always known the truth of it. The overthrow of the primordial annihilator is his greatest wish. So what I do, Autarch, from this moment on, I will do for the Emperor."
Slough Dar nodded. He turned and walked away.
"Lord Namatjira continues to plague us with demands," said Herzog. "He is becoming quite agitated. He insists that you report to him immediately and make full disclosure."
"Does he indeed?" Alpharius replied. Herzog nodded.
"He's beginning to make veiled threats too, my lord. Accusations of treason, or worse. I believe we must make some kind of response before he loses all patience and embarks upon a regrettable course of action."
"We will make a response," said Omegon.
Alpharius glanced at his twin.
"If we are to prevail in the task ahead of us," said Omegon, "we must be secure and committed. We cannot let our hand be seen too early or have our undertaking betrayed. Secrecy is, as always, our most potent weapon."
"Agreed," said Alpharius. He bowed his head and was silent and pensive for a moment.
"So?" asked Omegon.
Alpharius looked up at him.
"Do it," he said.
"Still no response from the Primarch or any of his officers, my lord," announced the Master of Vox. "His barge also refuses to acknowledge our repeated hails."
Namatjira nodded. The bridge of the Blamires had grown increasingly quiet. The tension was palpable.
"Repeat the message," Namatjira ordered.
"Yes, my lord," said the Master of Vox.
The Lord Commander turned to Van Aunger.
"I'm going to withdraw to my chambers," he said, "and compose a statement of censure regarding the Astartes Alpha Legion. If we have not received a satisfactory reply by the time I'm done, you will send the statement directly to Terra."
"Yes, my lord," said Van Aunger. At that time, I will issue one final notice of intent, and if it is not answered, we will begin total bombardment of the surface zone.
Sir, I...
Van Aunger protested. Shut up and listen, Van Aunger, Namatjira growled. Total bombardment of the surface zone. Furthermore, you will position appropriate heavy cruisers to challenge and cripple the battle barge.
Van Aunger shook his head in dismay. They are Astartes, my lord. What you're proposing amounts to war against our own.
The Lord Commander does not believe they are our own any more, Fleetmaster, said Dinas Chain.
Namatjira turned to leave the bridge, but a call from the tracking officer stopped him.
Sir, the Astartes battle barge has just slipped high anchor.
What? Demanded Van Aunger, hurrying to the station. Show me.
It's coming about, sir, the tracking officer gabbled. It's turning in towards the fleet formation.
Those duplicitous bastards, murmured Namatjira.
That's an attack vector, Van Aunger cried. Full shields, battle stations.
The barge has opened fire, sir, a deck officer shouted. The Cantium has taken direct hits. The solar wind, too. It's open to the void.
Return fire, Van Aunger ordered. All vessels with a viable target solution on the barge, Beta, fire at will.
The carrier Lauren has gone, sir. The Tancredi and the Loudon both report damage.
It's just one ship, barked Namatjira.
It's an Astartes battle barge, you cretin, Van Aunger spat at him. It's ploughing through the center of the fleet like a hot knife.
The deck shook as the Blamires began to fire its primary batteries.
8 direct hits recorded on the target vessel, the Master of Ordnance sang out.
Yes, crowed Namatjira, clenching a fist.
The Beta is not slowing down, said the tracking officer. Function does not seem to have been impaired.
A shrill siren began to sound, slicing through the battle klaxons.
Teleport signature, a bridge officer howled. Full spread of teleport flares throughout the midsection. We're being boarded.
Internal hatches blew open in a welter of flame and flying metal. Bolter rounds ripped out of the smoke, choking the hallway and cut down crew personnel as they tried to flee. The Astartes appeared, striding relentlessly out of the fire, their purple armour reflecting the rippling flames. Their bolters roared as they switched left and right methodically, covering every side tunnel and passageway.
Repulse! Repulse! Shouted Major General Dev, sword in hand, trying to rally two platoons of Hort infantry. Open fire!
The troopers began to blaze shots down the length of the hallway. Dev thought he glimpsed a purple figure staggering back, but bolt rounds seared out of the swirling smoke and destroyed two of the troopers beside him. Covered in their blood, Dev tried to pull his men back to cover.
Keep firing, he yelled. He grabbed his vox. Repulse squads to decks 8 and 9. Heavy weapons. We need heavy weapons.
They drew back along the hall and into an assembly chamber. Bolt rounds chased them and cut down 3 more men. 40 Ultramar heavies were running forwards through the chamber to support them.
Up! Up, up! Dev yelled. Come on! Hold the fucking hatchway! Keep them back!
The deck shook with a series of loud blasts from somewhere below.
Give me that fucking launcher,
Dev screamed, throwing down his sword and snatching the heavy weapon out of the hands of one of the Ultramars. He began to pump rocket grenades out through the chamber hatch. Light blinked and flickered in the chamber behind them. Coalescing matter swirled and twisted the eddying smoke. 6 Alpha Legion Astartes materialized, their weapons firing on full auto. The Major General and his men perished in seconds.
Something's happening, said Che urgently. Something bad.
Honan Mu gazed up at the sky. The bright flashes and sparks beyond the cloud cover were not lightning. It was orbital fire. The fleet had engaged.
I can't raise the carrier or the flagship, the Joker's vox officer reported.
Keep trying, she ordered. What is it? Asked Tiphaine. What's happening up there?
I don't know. Mu replied.
Everyone winced suddenly.
Sept Payne shot through the Uxor and her aides. Its iridescent rim turning slowly, the giant copper disc rose up behind the crags of the Shivering Hills and ascended straight up into the sky. It vanished into the low cloud. Mu sat down on a flat block of stone. It had begun to rain, fierce and cold. She could already smell the minute change in the air. Whatever purpose the atmospheric zone had been created for was done with. It was no longer needed, and it was being allowed to dissipate. She had no idea if the process would take minutes, days, or weeks, but the caustic atmosphere of 42 Hydra Tertius would flood back and restore climactic equilibrium. Honan Mu perceived that no one would be coming for them. The Jokers and all the other ground assault units would still be in the zone when the poison storms of 42 Hydra Tertius reclaimed it. Then other decomposing remains would be left, drowned and scattered across the lonely cubic rocks.